And it's even greater to spend this time in the presence as Ms. Hine, very good friend of ours, not a friend, sorry, a brother of ours, has just said. It's such a privilege, and it's a privilege to share it with the ones we love. Everybody still here? Are you enjoying my birthday? Okay, great. I'm really glad that you're enjoying my birthday. No, that's the typical jokes we make at home. Sorry? Tell your grandson that I bring cake every Sunday. It's part of my job. But yes, we did. And there's extra cookies as well. So by all means, go grab afterwards. I'm going to try not to be too long. But I'm really excited for what the Lord has done this morning. Let's quickly pray and trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to us. Father God, thank you that you have been speaking. As Nettie said, it just all ties up. Like last week, you just tie it all together. Help us to see. Thank you that you bring our hearts swiftly in that place that we can receive the fullness of your word, the fullness of your revelation, the fullness of your goodness, and that the taste buds of our hearts will just be blessed, will be cleansed where necessary this morning in Jesus' name. Thank you for an encounter with you, with your truth, with your heart and with your will for each one individually. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Lord said to us at the end of last year, you know it by now, be anchored. So we heeded to the voice of the Lord and trusted that we're going to seek him in just being a people that are anchored to the basics, the truth of the gospel. Not the traditions of man, not the rules of man, but firstly and foremostly to the word and the spirit. And then obviously as the things that we do fit in with the context of the word and with that of Christ, to be anchored to that. And so we've been through a long process, and I'm definitely not going to regurgitate everything this morning. You can go and listen to the sermons if there's anything in your heart still unclear. But today's message is this: very simply, an anchored people, or anchored people. And the subject specifically that I had on my heart, that God just laid on my heart, is intimacy. Now, just to quickly take the golden thread that I believe God has been doing this last month or two, is that a couple of weeks back, I don't know if you remember, I said God uses pretty normal things, pretty normal people, to do extraordinary things. He does the supernatural with us. And a part of us is pretty natural. Who feels pretty natural today? Pretty normal. Pretty normal. Marozi, God can do supernatural things through us. But for us to see potential, albeit your neighbor, albeit a rough neighborhood that you might live in, or the country, or the politics, or even if the economy is something near to your heart, then that. Many times we face these things and you think, man, this is like Lazarus, and this thing is stinking. Now, in our country, you can think of a couple of things. But God calls us to a place to not to see problems, but to see potential. But for hearts and for our heart's eyes to be able to see potential in your wife's life, or in your family, or that cousin that's really difficult and in and out of rehab, to still see potential, you need what? You still need hope. And so we went down the line of chatting about what is hope, this expectation, a trust as it were. But I can't have hope if I can't put my trust in anything. So I won't put my hope in God, let's be honest. I won't put my hope in God. I won't put my hope in that chair if I don't trust it. If I don't trust that it's sturdy and that it will hold up my weight. And so we just quickly had a look at, hey guys, morning, do we actually trust God? Do we come to church? Do we do the nice churchy things? Do we say the typical Christianese things? We throw around the words, but yet we just live like the world. We just live like our culture. Trust is in what I do, what I earn, etc., etc. I'm not going to go into all. So I believe that was the golden thread. And then from trust, Johan beautifully shared about being yoked with Christ. He said, yes, it's one thing believing in Christ and following and saying, I'm a believer, but you need to be partnering with him, being yoked with him. So beautifully how it shared. We'll post that that message shortly, and you can go and listen to it again if you didn't. But just in that yoking, I realize that yoking with Christ, even though he says my yoke is easy, my burden is light, there's a close proximity with Christ. To be truly yoked with Christ is a close proximity. And in other words, in that relationship that all of us has with him and should have and can have, trust will grow. Right? And so trust, close proximity, led obviously to the theme for today being intimacy. Now, just a week or two back, like Edna shared this morning, we noticed that a lot of people are going through tough times. And these times do come in all of our lives. And sometimes it's seasonal for the body, where it's like, wow, like if I'm all big swaar trek, or at least then 90%. And we just go back to Scripture. Jesus said, in this world you will suffer, but take heart, I have overcome. In me you will find peace. And so it's just a matter of, hey guys, we're not going to sort out all the problems. We're just going to say, hey, are we in Christ? Are we yoked with him? Are we close to him? Are we intimate with him? And Edna just going through her own battles, quite frankly, it just gave me such a compassion just for her and what the Lord does. And it actually blessed our marriage, I believe, the tough things that she's gone through lately. Again, trust building. And so out of that, she said, she believed the Lord says, the way we can survive in this time is intimacy. Intimacy with the Lord. If you remember a couple of weeks back, I said hope. In life, we all have hope. What is the most basic hope that we have as humans? Can you remember? Anybody? We want safety. We want to survive. We don't want to die. If you look at humans, they don't even need to be believers. They want to be safe, secure, and they want to stay alive. That's quite frankly, what we at our core try to constantly do is survive. Might look different from one guy to the other. And so within this survival heart of ours, I believe as humans, it's important for Christians to know that the only way in which we survive, truly are secure and safe, is in this intimate relationship with the Lord. Now quickly, let's look at definitions. We don't do it because I had to fill up space. We look at definitions because as charismatic Christians, sometimes we throw around terms. My heart this, bless this, awesome this. And we throw around these terms, yet we kind of lose the definition of these Christianese words of what they truly mean. And so when I do definitions, I love definitions. It's just to take my own mind and say, biblically speaking, do I actually know what I'm saying? If I say, Hein, wat is op jou hart? What does that actually mean? If my mind says giving should come out of the heart, it sounds beautiful, it is biblical, but if I should stop you in the middle of the night and say, what exactly does that mean? Where does your heart sit? Then you might think, well, what does that mean? So we've got these vague ideas, so sometimes it's good just to look at the definitions. You can go to the next slide, please. Just quickly, the root word for intimacy is intimus. That's very close, kind of cool. But what I want you to note there is a close friend. Here's two of my close friends here right in front. And so, it's just quickly, when I speak about intimacy with the Lord, some of us, if you took a couple of knocks in life, if there was areas in your life where you got hurt, sexual perversion, etc., and if I say intimacy, you might freak out. And if I say intimacy and God in the same sentence, you might think, what the heck, this is weird. And so just in that moment to say, no, it's not weird. It is a beautiful definition. And even though you might have been hurt, even in the place of intimacy, in this case, the part definition of the sexual kind, is to say, Lord, please heal, because you made it clean. You made it perfect. You did not pervert it. So that when we look at these things, it is not through tainted, broken, or cracked lenses. It's through hearts that see as he sees. And that's another reason why. So it's a state of being intimate, close, familiar, and usually affectionate or loving personal relationship. Does that sound warm? Warmer than the weather. Does that sound good to anybody? I hope so. It's supposed to. With another personal group, a close association with a detailed knowledge, a deep understanding, an act or expression of serving as a token of familiarity. Edna's just been serving me this weekend, just something on her heart, and it's just been speaking to my heart so dearly. And I realized that is a matter of intimacy in the way in which she's loving me. and something that really speaks to my heart. Who knows the love languages? Well, six of you. Great stuff. Okay, cool. We'll roll that out later on. Moving on, filial affection, to allow the intimacy of using first names as an example. And then it goes on. There you see sexual intercourse, with which I've mentioned. And obviously today, that is not applicable if we speak about intimacy with the Lord. But there's a nice parallel. Please note what I say. There's a nice parallel. A picture that, as we know intimacy in a godly, clean, biblical definition, there's nice parallels sometimes to be drawn when we speak about intimacy with the Lord. But let's not get the wires crossed if ever we've got knocked or hurt in this area. So please just note in that area that the enemy does not steal. And then lastly, the quality of being comfortable, warm, or familiar. That sounds good. This morning when Hans shared, it was just that place of, wow, this is a privilege. Just that place of absolute privilege. And that can only come from a heart that knows the quality of being comfortable, warm, or familiar with His presence and with Him. And so that is God's heart for all of us. The Bible has a very definite emphasis on intimacy. Close relationships are very important to God. Where do we see close relationships in the Word? Marriage, yes. What else? Disciples, yes. Good one. Sorry? The Trinity, yeah, they're pretty close. The Trinity, that's a beautiful picture to us. What else? Jonathan and David, yes. God and His people, He's constantly wanting to be close to His people. Do you believe that, actually? We can say that we are all Christian-like and we're in church, so we used to say yes, but do you believe that on a Monday morning? Guys, on a Thursday evening, do you believe God wants to be close to His people? Or maybe He's sitting way back with a stick, or He's busy on His phone, or He's sending an email. Do you actually believe that He wants to be close? Christ and Jesus, there's a beautiful picture of intimacy. God as a Father, etc. So the Bible is full of them, if you want it. I asked the Lord, what is it? How can I put a good definition? What's a good definition for me personally? And He just dropped in my spirit, Ek ken jou en jy ken my. Might not sound that profound to you, but in the moment He just dropped it in my heart, I just realized, and yes, am I saying I know God fully? No, obviously I don't. But I'm in the process. Does He know me fully? Absolutely. But in this knowing Him, in this close proximity of being yoked with Christ, and remember, I'll loosely probably refer to the Holy Spirit, to God, and to Christ. We are called to have unity and intimacy with the Trinity. Please, it's not one or the other. It's because of Christ, you'll see just now, because we can have that. So, ek ken jou en jy ken my. And the depth of this intimacy will grow by the way in which we know each other, and the T word we used earlier, trust. Do you trust God? If there's true trust, there can be true intimacy. We'll get back to that just now. John Bloom says the following about intimacy with God. I like just the way in which he phrased it. And maybe you can take some of this to heart. Who feels very close to God now in this moment? Just be honest. Hands up. Okay. Not everybody feels very close to the Lord at this moment. What is the biblical truth? Is everybody in this place today very close to God? There were two or more gathered in His name. There He is. So He is here. I might not be feeling it. I might not be experiencing it. But He is ever present. He is here. And so it's a matter of tuning in our hearts to saying, Lord, I'm not in tune, or something's up. Why am I not sensing the biblical truth in this moment? Why am I not experiencing this in this moment? We'll get to the experience just now. It is as true in our relationships with God as it is in our relationship with other human beings. This closeness, this intimacy is needed. Our experience of God's nearness or distance, listen close, is not a description of His actual proximity to us, but of our experience of intimacy with Him. That's so true. The fact that He feels far from you does not mean He is far from you. There might be a problem between the two of you that you need to sort out. Definitely, it's called sin. No problem. But it doesn't keep Him far off. He's got a tender, beautiful, loving heart wanting to be close. Scripture shows us that God is intimate with those who trust Him. The more we trust God, the more intimately we come to know Him. So if today you believe, I actually don't have much intimacy with the Lord, parallel to that, will it be quite obvious that there's no trust. Is there any condemnation? No, there's not. But we're going to ask God, Lord, we want to grow in trust then. How am I? Please give me handles. Please show me how. Please show me people that I can learn from so that I can grow in trust, because I'm going to grow in this thing called intimacy. I felt a distance from God. I'm going on with this paragraph. I felt a distance from God. A felt distance from God is often due to a disruption in trust, such as sin or disappointment. Take in friendships. Take in your relationships. If trust took a knock in an average marriage, it will affect intimacy. And with intimacy, I include communication, obviously intercourse, etc. But just bonding, the connection of hearts. Anybody married here, have you ever experienced that? Trust gets a bit of a knock. Intimacy is out the door. It's just obvious. And so God uses this picture just with Him as well. So if you today say, well, intimacy with God is just firstly a bit weird, then we need to chat. Then you and the Lord need to chat. If I say, well, yes, now and again, maybe if I come to church on a Sunday, there'll be a glimpse, there'll be a moment. Guys, I just realized, and this is by God's grace, but in case you haven't heard, it's my birthday today. But that's just what I do at home. It's quite funny by now, but it's not funny here. But I had the privilege of turning 35 and dancing in the presence of the Lord. Now, if you had known my life about 15 years ago, now here being intoxicated by the love and the Spirit of the Lord making me to dance, and where I was, it's just an absolute miracle. Spending a moment of intimacy with Him and having this today is such a blessing, especially if you knew where He had picked me up, where else I had danced before. And it was false fires. It was definitely not His fire. And He's a gracious God that calls us into that place of intimacy. Just quickly on experience, and we don't have time to stand on it for too long, but what I've heard many a times is people will say on Facebook, or they will publicly just say, well, it's not about experience. It's not about your getting goose flesh or hoender flesh. It's not about having that oogie-woogie feeling. It's not about experiencing the Lord. It is what the Bible says. And I want to say yes and no. Be careful there. Did God show us all of these pictures? Did He give us all of these relational glimpses into His heart? Did He have a son and send the son so that He can actually be, again commune with us and have this intimacy with us so that it can be a mere intellectual exercise? Should my intimacy with God be only on an intellectual level, one of knowledge, a cognitive level, yet my intimacy with a friend, my intimacy with my wife, my intimacy with my children, my intimacy with my friends and family in church touches all of my senses. It touches the whole of my being. Yet when it comes to God, a religious spirit will love to tell you, it is only intellectual. You're as intimate with God as you have knowledge and understand Him cognitively. I'm sorry, but that just does not make sense. And especially where I've been picked up and the way in which God picked me up and loved me whole and patched me back together. I'm not knocking the Word. I'm not knocking people with great knowledge and understanding. I'm not knocking theology. But what I am saying is, be careful. Be very careful to try to keep Him up here. And then if you do not go in, to keep other people from going in themselves. Because we will help be held accountable for that. So I'm telling you as a church, guys, experience the Lord. Taste and see is not only know in your head. They go hand in hand. Again, I'm not knocking the former for the latter. But I am saying is, be careful. Because what happens is, I might not experience the way the Lord the way that Edna does. She might just have this cooking quiet times. And because of my lack of this experience in my life, I'm not saying how it should look, by the way. I'm open to discussion. It needs to be biblical and we can chat about it. But the moment she has that, I might stand thinking, what's wrong with me? The moment this happens and I've got the mic and it's not my experience, I will base my experience, I will base my doctrine upon my experience. Because actually I'm feeling rejected. I'm feeling, is she better than I am? No, definitely not. So many times that lie is born out of hurt, and just be careful about that. Let's discern by the Spirit. Even if some manifestation, if some experience of somebody looks exactly like the Holy Spirit, still test. Do you guys hear my heart here? Please, I don't want to overstep any boundaries unless it's godly permissible and biblical. But I don't want us to miss out on the fullness of spending time and having an intimate relationship with the Lord. So we want to have intimacy with God, and we want an intimate walk with Him. By the way, for me it is to be constantly connected. That for me. What is intimacy with the Lord for you, Retief? What does it mean in your life? It's to be constantly connected. Constantly connected. Not only when I'm here, but this afternoon, tomorrow morning, am I always constantly connected? You can ask my wife. I have brief moments where I'm not that connected. And I'm not that great guy then. And then I need to get connected, because any matter of greatness or goodness in me is only in connection with Him. It can only come from intimacy with Him. Nothing else. So for me, intimacy is constantly connecting. Why do I want that? It's a place of safety. I know what my life looks like without it. It's a place of security. We see many examples. David, Jesus, Paul, Daniel, Abram, Mary. You can go on. They had intimate relationships with God. They knew the Scripture. They knew the Torah. They knew the things of the Lord. But yet they also had burning bush experiences. They had the voice of the Lord. Samuel heard Him, didn't even know that he was hearing Him. They had encounters with the Lord. Guys, do not let anything rob you of godly biblical encounters with the Lord. Please, not even your own fears. Not that somebody else is more or less. I don't believe in levels as such spiritually, because I see that God says that He doesn't favor any of us. So if Edna's got this cooking, amazing relationship, intimate, deep, intimate relationship with the Lord, there's no reason under the sun why I can't have it as well. We'll get to how we get there just now. Is there a formula for intimacy with the Lord? I don't think so. I don't think there's a formula. I can't give you the 6 steps and you'll be all sorted out, and then I'll make a DVD and I'll make a book, and I'll just, for the rest of my life, I'll just pump them out. And this is how you get intimate with the Lord. Does it work like that in marriage, by the way? Hey, Richard? There's always a formula? The same formula always work? No, not at all, eh? No, it doesn't. Eleanor lacht maar net van oor tot oor. She's got the formula, but she's not sharing it with him. I'm joking. But you know what I'm saying. It's the same with the Lord. I used this example before. If I should come on a Friday evening with a Hawaiian pizza, the DVD, Along Came Polly, first one we watched together, and Red Roses, Edna will be blessed. Or, not really, apparently. But if I do it the second Friday, Along Came Polly, Hawaiian pizza, Red Roses, she's like, oh, cool, this is nice. If after 16 weeks on a Friday night, Retief pitches up at 7:03. Hi, Liffy. It's a romantic evening tonight. A wine pizza, a long camp poly, and red roses. She'll be like, where have you been? Where's the connection? Demi understands this. She's got real deep, deep stuff. But not even guys will think that's cool. And likewise with the Lord. It's just to be real and to have a heart connection and not a formula. Because Along Came Polly, Hawaiian pizza, and red roses might become a formula. And that's what we want to see today. Lord, I don't want to fall into the trap of religion and formula. Okay, so we're looking at keys quickly. We're going to look at keys for intimacy with the Lord. It's not a formula. It's just things that came to my heart. And in fact, I think we might have a couple of weeks where we're going to stand on intimacy, because it's as wide as the ocean. I'm just going to touch on one or two things. So we've seen that intimacy is friendship, deep knowing relationship, warm, familiar, and closeness between you and God. Sounds good. Now quickly, two things, two foundational firsts. Because if you should walk into a charismatic church today for the first time ever in your life, and you're like intimate with the Lord, people are clapping and dancing, this is kind of strange. Let's move back to Scripture, because that's where we get the truth and where upon which we built our doctrine. The two foundational firsts for intimacy is, firstly, is the key. There's one door to intimacy. It might sound basic, but guys, if you have intimacy with the Lord and it is not based on and through Christ, as Edna said, it might be New Age, then we'll have to chat. If by any means you are connecting with a deity or a supernatural being, having experiences, as we've just said, which we want godly, biblical experience, but you're having these experiences, and Christ is not part of that. Christ is not the center of that. We've got a problem. So we can talk a lot about deep stuff and intimacy with the Lord, but Christ is first and foremostly the door to intimacy with God. Why am I saying that? Because of Scripture. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. We want intimacy with God. What is the only way in which intimacy with God can start? It is through salvation, and it is through Jesus Christ. Not merely only his name, yes, his name, but his full story to us. So your intimacy needs to, and the intimacy and the experience we have with the Lord, the connections we have with the Lord, need to be based and built upon Christ. So Christ is firstly the door to intimacy with God and a lifestyle of intimacy. Now this thing of intimacy, we said the Latin was a close friend, this friendship, this warmth, close friendship. The second thing foundationally, which I believe is very important, is that this friendship with God, this idea, for who is that strange? Well, the first time you heard being a friend of God, being a friend of Christ, for who was that strange? Anybody? Okay, only for me, Peter, and Demi. Okay, great. The rest of you guys, just chill out. We'll be with you in a second. Just to make sure that this friendship thing is biblical, because you might come across somebody that's never heard this thing. They know God is this staunch old guy that really just out to show them their issues. And yet you tell them, well, I'm a friend of God. They might think you're a weird hippie. But we go back to the word, which states, I do not call you slaves anymore. This is Christ, that word. Because a slave doesn't know what his master is doing. I've called you friends. Remember this, Christ here saying, I've called you friends. And you know that John 14 says that if you've seen me, you've seen whom? The Father. Now, if you've seen Jesus as friend, you've also seen God's heart, that he calls you into a close relationship. He calls you into firstly sonship, but also, I believe, friendship. Yes, you have a son and a daughter, but you befriend them as well, don't you? There's a closeness. There's the stuff we share in our family with our kids that we don't necessarily share with everybody here. There's a friendship. I've called you friends because I've made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. So the first two things that is important is, whenever we talk about amazing experiences by the Holy Spirit, if we talk about intimacy, knowing God, walking with Him, constantly being connected with Him, it is Christ first. Jesus Christ first. And we know that friendship with Him can be worked on, but it is absolutely biblical. Now, when we started in his message this morning, his offering message with the heart, the second thing I believe is important for intimacy and a lifestyle of intimacy with the Lord is your heart. Second thing is your heart, and the third thing is your heart. It is a heart's thing. Is relationship, is Christianity, in a religious context, let's think South Africa, is it always a heart's thing or sometimes a works thing? It's sometimes a works thing. And so we don't go around pointing the finger, but what we do is saying, God, are we connecting in heart? We're doing marriage prep with a couple of couples. And so, thanks, Demi. And so, we explain to them, as two rivers come together, it makes one amazing river. Right? Pietri thinks it's funny. Two smaller rivers becoming one river. But have you ever noticed where that happens, there's rapids. And there's a lot of white water. 10 years later, I think we might have might have been through that part. But unfortunately, have you ever met a couple, they've been married for 30, 40, 50 years, but they're two rivers? Legally, they're one river. Spiritually, they should be one river. But emotionally and in life, in heart, it's two rivers parallel, running next to each other. It's darn convenient. You're there, but you're not here. Don't have, everything is not all mixed up. It's pretty convenient. But so, they've tried to, but unfortunately, their heart have not gelled. The spirits have not gelled to such a degree, and they just run parallel. Sometimes a bit, one wears off, and then at a stage you hear, well, they've been separated. And they usually do because it's not comfortable for me to run parallel with you anymore. Now, this might be a bit harsh, but I think just to quickly draw that back to intimacy with the Lord, it's like that. Intimacy with the Lord is a heart connection. What is the heart? It's my mind, my character, my inner self. It's where my affection of my desire lies. It's the place that I would say establishes who you are. We all know what your heart is. And only you can know if your heart is really connecting with the Lord. So either in marriage or in friendship, I can say, hey, Johanet, hello, hello, broer, hello, sister. You can have this very, very nice connection with somebody, and then there's times where you sit down, where eye meets eye, and where there's a heart connect. You all know what the difference is between just chatting, and then where hearts connect. Now, have you seen this spiritually? Have you seen this in your walk with the Lord? Have you ever been on a Sunday morning in church, where you're there, you, hello, yes, you say the right thing, you do the right stuff, but you can honestly say you've walked out of church and there was no heart connection with God, nor with people. Thank you, Demi. So, for myself and Demi, we've experienced that. Now, I don't know if I have, I'm a bit of a hearts guy, so I would have probably stayed and teared it out. But the challenge is there that we can walk out and not have had a heart connection with God. Who of you can honestly say that I've had a heart connection with God this last week? Amen. It's not, yes, yeah, it's just to create an hunger, create an atmosphere to say, hey, maybe something is a bit religious in my marriage. Maybe something is a bit religious in my walk with the Lord. Maybe this intimacy is maybe just a term. I'm maybe not living that becoming one river with the Lord type of thing. And this is just the heart for us today. Again, let's draw the line pretty clear between the two, but sex per se is not always intimacy, is it? Is sex always intimacy? In a human? In a human form? Because if a husband and a wife in covenant gets together as a fruit of love and they intimate, that is intimacy. Yet if you go to a prostitute, a hypothetical person goes to a prostitute and have intercourse, it is what? Is it intimacy? No, it's a transaction. And again, your Christianity or your spiritual walk can sometimes either be one that is a heart connection, or you can do the stuff, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, and it becomes transactional. Am I right? Can religion be transactional? I'm in it to win it. I'm in it for myself, and I'll give a bietjie klein geld gee daarvoor as dit die moeite werd is. Sorry that I use this example, but it is just I believe a very practical way to see it sometimes. And again, it's not one of being condemned or anything. It's just to constantly be on the lookout that hearts connect. Are we only doing it with the Lord? No. Edna and I is in a constant battle because of the flesh, because of just our nature and our culture, to have a heart connect with each other. We constantly want to have a heart connect with Frida and Sophia. And by the way, they connect differently with you. This morning I was spending time with the Lord. Sophia's up first. She comes in a onesie. It's the cutest thing ever. She gets on my lap and she says, is it Papa's dag vandag? In other words, is it Father's Day? And I'm like, no, not quite Father's Day, but it's my birthday. And she's like, ah. And she just starts smiling and looking at me. Now she's on, and I want to spend time, ironically enough, be intimate with the Lord so that I can preach. And she's just going nowhere. I'm like, can I give you a story? I said, Mm-mm. And she just stares at me. Now, it's quite good for my father heart and my ego, and she just stares. And I'm like, okay, cool. So, I come a bit. While she's sitting here and staring at me. And isn't that what the Lord wants? It's a heart's connection. And just that heart connection in that moment just actually spoke into my heart. I don't have to pray in tongues and quote scripture, but yeah, it's just living godly intimacy, just living itself out here on my lap, and she's just staring at me, just pick him a bit. And it was just so beautiful. And so we don't want a transactional intimacy with the Lord. We want the real deal. But only you know if your heart is connecting with God. I don't. And it's not nobody's heart in each other, but it's saying, Holy Spirit, I want that. I want that. If I worship, realizing it is a massive privilege. I'm not standing here thinking, what am I going to do this afternoon? I'm here, receiving a download from life himself. And that is the heart this morning. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And so today we just lift up our hearts and say, Lord, it doesn't always happen. Help me. Scripture says, I will find you, but you want all of my heart. Culture and religion has taught me something else. Give me a bit of a percentage, 2.5%, or give me 7.5%, and I'll cut you a deal. You'll never get the real Lord. You'll never get the real truth and the real freedom that there is in him. So are we living as sons in intimate relationships or as slaves? Go read Galatians 4 again. Then the third point I'm just quickly sharing with you. It's a heart connection. And then thirdly, how do I have this intimacy with the Lord? I believe it's as simple as desiring it. It's as simple as desiring it. Truly desiring it. Husband and wife. They communicate, have a coffee. You can do it because you feel bad and you want to stack up and rack up some brownie points, or you can really have a desire and somebody will pick it up. And likewise with God, just saying, Lord, I desire to spend time with you. I desire to dance in your presence on a Sunday morning. I desire to hear what you say through your word and what you rhema into my heart. I desire you. And you might even be here this morning saying, Lord, I desire to desire you, because it's not yet there. And you know what? That's cool. That's really cool. He doesn't have a problem because he knew that. But it's he's saying, Lord, there's many other stuff in my life, but I wanted to desire you. You know David. It's on there. David in Psalm 27 was quite stoked to spend time with the Lord, dance before him. I'm going to skip that. I'm going to go to Philippians. That's Paul in the New Testament. But whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Can you look through your life? Can you see the stuff in your life, all the other things in your life? And can you truly say today that I count it as loss for as and how I can gain Christ? Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. This is quite hardcore. I think he really connected. He was kind of in love. If somebody's in love, that you can't speak sense into their head about anything else. If they really wholeheartedly, if they're in love, we're all three thinking of another friend now. But if they're in love, it's just like you can say whatever. You can have good counsel, you can bad counsel, you can talk about pigs flying. They just know one thing, they just hear one thing. Paul was like that. David was like that. I would love to be like that. My wife will just maybe ask for the Lord to dim it down, but that is it. Just say, Lord, I counted all the rest. I count as loss or rubbish. I want to know you. I want to be intimate with you. A hunger and a desire. I'll get back to some things you guys have shared. Just quickly, that hunger and desire. You might be at a place, or you might know people where they actually don't have a desire. I said this morning, it's a privilege, and some people might not even know that they're missing out on a privilege. It's like eating olives. If you don't like it, you don't know what you're missing. But once you just start enjoying olives, God is a bit better than olives and red wine and good coffee, by the way, Pietri. But you hear what I'm saying? It's like once you get the taste of it, it's just like, it's just amazing. Anyway, probably lost some people there. But why is there no hunger? I believe there's two reasons. There might be more, but these are the ones that I thought of. Firstly is, if you don't have a desire for intimacy with the Lord, it's probably because you've not tasted Him before. Very simply. He is life. He is the one that makes all things happen. He is I Am. He is the beginning and the end. If you say, well, I don't have it, then don't worry. You've just actually not had the real deal before. You've just not experienced Him. You've just not had a true moment in His presence. And remember, He's got no favorites. So if you've missed out, you can just ask, Lord, I desire that. If it tastes, and if it is so amazing to look upon, if it's so amazing to hear your voice and to be changed forevermore, please, put my name on. That's all we do. You just put up your hand. And the second reason I believe people lost kind of their appetite, or why they're not intimate, or not seeking an intimate relationship with the Lord, is that you're having it somewhere else. Unfortunately, there's a bit of an analogy again with the marriage. None of the married women here would like to share their bed with somebody else than their husband, obviously. It's just that it's part of our makeup. We don't do it. But at least if you do it, then you need to come see me because there's problems. We'll need to chat about it. But you hear what I'm saying. And if we, in this natural, supernatural married state and in relationships, even in friendship to a certain degree, have this heart for intimacy, God is exactly the same. If you say, intimacy with the Lord is really not that cool or not that interesting or not that desirable, it might be that you've been intimate with other stuff. And it's not a hard word, it's not condemnation, it's just quickly having a look at our hearts. Because if there's no heart connection, the thing is, we've been made for intimacy and we've been made to worship, right? So, it's not a matter of can I worship or do I want to worship the Lord. It is, we are beings of worship. The thing is, if you can't worship the Lord or if you don't want to worship the Lord, you're actually just worshiping something else. Remember, worship is not singing and clapping. Worship is your life. It's just what you exuberate. It's what you yearn for. It's what you go and what you lay yourself down for. So, if somebody is not worshiping God, they're worshiping something else. And likewise with intimacy. If we're not intimate with Him, we're intimate with a hobby, we're intimate with money, we're intimate with people. We're intimate with your own children to a degree where it's not godly and it's not healthy. And so the list goes on and on and on. We don't want to stand still with that. We just want to say, Lord, Holy Spirit, just help us. Two things we're going to end off with, in other words, is saying, God, I want a fully intimate life with You. You're the only one that's satisfied. But if I don't know that you're the only one that's satisfied, then Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Then, Lord, please lead me and lead my life in and through Your word, in and through Your spirit, to have that, the taste, the experience of Your closeness, the being yoked with You. And grow me in this, Lord. You don't have to start Monday morning being the most intimate Christian with the Lord, living this closely connected. No, He's going to grow you in it, in obedience, in love. Beth Moore says, trying to know God and serve Him before we come to love Him is exhausting. If your Christianity becomes exhausting to you, it's like giving without the heart. It's like having to come to church and say, give me your money, and you're like, what the heck is that about? But if you come and say, I'm rich, He's my dad, and I'm just sharing, it's different. If Christianity is exhausting to you in this season, chat to God. If you're not connecting your heart, just chat to Him. If you need extra help, chat to Edna or chat to me. But God wants to bring us to that place. Guys, it's grace that leads us into intimacy. I'm going to end off. I asked the question yesterday on a couple of our groups. Why do you want to have an intimate relationship with God, and do you want to grow in intimacy with Him? Just focus with me. It's not on the board. I'm just going to read it. This is love letters to the Lord. This is for me like incense. when people just quickly opened up, sent me an SMS or a WhatsApp. I did translate a couple of them, and I just took snippets out of it. But the question again is, why do you want to have an intimate relationship with God? And do you want to grow in intimacy with Him? Everybody said yes, they want to grow. But this is the reason why people are living an intimate relationship or want an intimate relationship with the Lord. Listen up closely. He is I am. Without Him, my life does not make sense. No good thing is apart from Him. No good thing is apart from Him. Then all of those other things that constantly want to be intimate with you, that wants to prostitute your heart, is worthless. All those things that want to call you into this culture of prostitution is worthless. It sounds religious, this person said, but it is my truth. Ek kan nie anders as in Hom en vir Hom te leef. Living a life where rivers of living waters flow from my mouth naturally. A place where peace, love, and joy comes from within. It is the desire of my heart to become saturated with Abba Father. There is nothing more precious in this world than an intimate relationship with Him. I'm asking the question again to you. Why do you want an intimate relationship with the Lord? Next one. This is Afrikaans. Apologies for those that do not understand. But it's good. As ek sy stem ken, regtig ken, kan niks dieselfde wees as ek hier weggaan. I've experienced that. Kan niks dieselfde wees waar ook al ek gaan nie. Onmoontlik. Kan ons hom so ken? Vraagteken. This person said, ek wil. I want to. The following person said, why know Him intimately? Because He chose me no matter what. He chose me no matter what. He betrothed Himself to me in love, grace, mercy, and faithfulness. He reveals Himself to me daily, and that is why I love His presence and want to know Him more. Dis die enigste plek waar ek regtig lewendig en content voel, sê hierdie persoon. This is an intimate relationship with the Lord. Next guy said, He is life and life in abundance. He is. Without Him, I'm nothing. Intimiteit is die spulpunt en kern. It's the crux, it's the center point van lewe en verhouding met God. Everything revolves around this. Because He is the only one that satisfies the depth of my heart and soul. He's the only one that satisfies the depth and heart of my soul. His deep is the only match for the deep in me. Wow, it's like a puzzle. He's the only one that can complete. All the deeps, all the other deeps in this world are instant and temporary gratification. But His thick oil is the only thing that fills and moves, changes and satisfies the longing in me. I want intimate relationship with Him to successfully complete life's journey. I want to make it. That's a good reason. For a fulfillment of my identity, because the moment I don't have that, there is just no security. So without intimacy, there's no identity, there's no security. So with a lack of intimacy, there's a lack of identity. I also want it for a sense of security and belonging. When you are intimate with someone, that is where you find your security. Where there's lack of intimacy with God, there's always nervousness and fear. Almost there. Hoekom ek intieme verhouding met die Here koester? Ek glo daar moet soveel vryheid wees in 'n intieme verhouding met die Here, want jy sal altyd veilig wees in jou wete dat wat ook al oor jou pad kom. Maar ook, ek begin regtig ervaar sy woord is lewendig. Halleluja. Dis soos 'n jag na die golden goose, the things of life. Maar die Here is die enigste een wat regtig die golden goose ervaring kan vervul. Die res is vals beloftes. The other stuff that people want to be intimate with is false promises. En ek weet dat op die einde van die lewe gaan dit die enigste ding wees wat tel. At the end of life, this is the only thing that is going to count. I love that. This is eternal life, that they might know you and your son whom you have sent. Why? Another person said freedom, complete freedom. The irony is intimacy with other stuff promises you freedom, yet it brings forth bondage. 3 to go. It is our common calling and place of fulfillment. Seeking that outside of God will leave us empty and unsatisfied. He is our first love. The rest flows from an intimate personal relationship with God. As He is first love, I want to know Him fully and serve Him completely. Then my heart and love will belong to Him only. The more intimate I walk with God, the closer I walk in my true identity, purpose, and calling. Again, when I see Him, I see who I am. To walk in that which the Lord has called me for. You are just in that place of original design. I like that, original design. And what you have been called for. You guys can stand with me. Acts 17:28 says, "In Him we live, move, and have our being. Dit is eintlik dat in Hom alles is. Dat ek in Hom alles is in het en buite Hom niks." And the last one. He is the only one that sustains and fulfills. He gets me. Only in Him and through Him life makes sense. And likewise, I make sense. Intimate encounters with Him is everlasting and fully complete. He completes me by my being and gives me more and more and more reason to truly live. And guys, this is what a couple of you said about being intimate with the Lord. I was so blessed by what I read, what I heard, what was sent. And I just see the love, the love, intimate love relationship that we have with Him. But as you know, we can always grow. And then if you're truly intimate with someone, it's going to bear fruit. If you're truly intimate with someone, what is important to them will become important to other people. Like I said to somebody today, they said, "Oh, aren't you off this weekend?" I said, "No, it's the biggest privilege to share the grace that I've been given, this fullness, this riches, this perfection I am, that I've been given, to be able to share this today. It's such a grace." And likewise, I want to call you as intimate sons and daughters of God. Let's check our hearts this morning and also say, "Lord, use me wherever to share this intimacy." Let's pray. Father God, thank You that You take us on a journey of intimate relationships with You. Thank You for the history that we all have with You. Thank You, God, that if anybody should feel left out yet this morning, we come against the line and say, nobody's left out. Everybody is accepted amongst the beloved. Everybody is accepted in Christ Jesus. And whatever is standing between you or an intimate relationship with you and any of us here today or anybody listening to this sermon at a later stage, thank you, God, that through your Spirit, you will just annihilate that. God, we pray that Lord, we all have moments where there's intimacy with other things in this world. We just repent. Lord, forgive us. We lift up our hearts. We ask for forgiveness for ever sharing intimacy in a manner that is only meant for covenant with you, that is only meant for you as our Maker, as our Father. Forgive us, Lord, and just clean up our hearts. And again, lastly, Lord, just saturate our taste buds to taste and to know that you're good as a people. God, I just speak your blessing over us, Lord, and we thank you for your heart. Thank you that you grow us in intimacy with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, if you want some prayer, you can come afterwards and we can pray. If something really is struck in your heart, please don't leave without praying with us. But otherwise...